Welcome to episode 106 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. This week's show features another of my ever-popular conversations with photographer and writer Hugh Graham, who many of you will know was one of my lecturers when I studied photography at university. The topic of debate this time around is adaptability and versatility. Specifically, we're discussing the idea that photographers should always be flexible and willing to try something new in the course of their work. Of course, times are tough for a great many practitioners in our industry right now, but at what point do you decide whether you should stick to what you know or branch out into uncharted waters in order to generate much-needed revenue? As ever, this is going to be a lively debate. So, welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 106. Once again, I'm in the office of Hugh Graham, my one-time lecturer and associate and fellow photographer. And today we are going to be talking about adaptability and how, as a photographer, versatility is not only a good, thing to have under your belt, but also the requirement to diversify when times are tough or when you are looking to get into a different part of the industry. I think this is, it resonates quite a bit at the moment because a lot of photographers are feeling the pinch with the downturn. I don't know what to call it now, Hugh, whether it's a recession, whether it's a downturn, whether it's just the economy being crappy or what. It's either way, a lot of photographers are scratching their heads wondering how they're going to pay their bills.
Well, a lot of photographers are out of business.
That's very true, actually.
Yeah.
It's, I think diversity is, diversification rather is never a bad thing, but I do think that it should certainly, to begin with, play to your strengths so that you are, in the most extreme case, not a jack of all trades just trying to turn your hand to something because you think it might make a few quid. Would you agree?
Or? No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
I think you are...
I didn't think you would.
you are being, as my own grandson, who is 8 years old, puts it, you are being diplomatic. He doesn't understand what diplomatic means. So his word is diplomatic.
That's rather good. I might make a note of that.
Which has now been adopted by the whole family. So just try that again. What is it you think it is?
Whether people in diversifying should try something completely different or start with areas related to their what they know.
Why don't you just tell it as it is, Charles, where when times are tough, you do anything to earn money.
Okay, here's the thing. A lot of photographers, it used to be in the years gone by, and it is a cliche, photographers shot weddings at the weekend to supplement their work through the week.
Well, that's how you started, wasn't it?
That's because
and that's also why you did it.
That's because my lecturer, not bullied me into it, but he was very influential, this lecturer being this gentleman sat smugly looking at me across the room. But no, I mean, on a serious point, you did make it very clear, both in our classes and when I first came to your house after I graduated some years later to talk about this, and you offered me the chance to work alongside you, you did make it very clear that so long as you have bills to pay, and at that time, as I was building my business right from the very early days as a photographer, you did make it very clear that you have to have enough revenue streams to pay your bills. And if that means doing a bit of work that you probably don't want to do, tough. You should not be totally blinded to the idea of generating some extra income, however uncomfortable it might be.
But you've also neglected a really important factor in this, which I will now remind you of.
Thank you.
It goes like this: you went to your university and were involved in doing a fine art photography degree. You didn't know it was a fine art photography degree when you started. You just thought it was a fine art photography degree. But then you discover that it was all these arty-farty idiots who were going to produce pictures which would be exhibited at sort of Bond Street galleries and maybe sell, but probably wouldn't.
Mm. Mm.
And since that wouldn't pay anybody's bills, we talked about photojournalism.
Mm.
And you adapted yourself quite well to photojournalism. And I pointed out to you when I enticed you perfectly willingly into wedding photography that all the skills that a photojournalist need are there in spades in wedding photography.
Mm.
And basically what it comes down to is people management.
Yeah.
And if you can actually persuade people at weddings to do ludicrous things in order to get decent pictures, then you are 90% of the way to being a decent press photographer.
Well,
do you not recall that?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. my mind is racing to my next question to you now in my head because I'm thinking I've got off to a great start in our conversation, so what the hell? I think at the moment there is pressure. I think it keeps us on our toes because there are so many people trying to make money from photography that are billing themselves as photographers maybe, or keen enthusiast photographers, very good at what they do, and they're able to command some sort of fee. May not be the right fee, but they are commanding a fee. Do you see that as, I mean, the obvious thing is to say that it's a threat to the industry, but do you also think that there can be some positive brought out of that, because it keeps us on our toes and makes us adapt and look for the opportunities that can help us to push ourselves as photographers and keep our businesses running?
Technology is moving so quickly today that if you are out of the industry for more than 6 months, you are going to find yourself way behind.
Yeah.
For example, there is no necessity anymore, I believe, for a photographer to advertise himself or herself in a wedding magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the work comes through the website.
Yeah.
If you have explained to me in great detail how using Facebook and Twitter generates you a huge number of inquiries. So photographers have to be adaptable to market changes if they're going to bring what they're offering to the attention of a possibly buying public. That applies exactly to anything else. If you wish to remain a photographer, then you have to take pictures that people want taken.
Mm.
And if you don't take pictures that people don't want taken, you're not going to remain very long as a photographer. So I think photography is always market-driven. And the wise photographer will study the market and what is happening amongst his contemporaries to see, okay, fine. So I'm sure that you have considered, for example, photographing schools.
Mm.
You can actually, I know that there's a fortune to be made by many photographers photographing gymkhanas, where they do endless pictures of small brats riding ponies over small jumps.
Mm.
And if you get the picture right, every parent will proudly buy any picture of their child coming over and jumping. You get somewhere between £5 and £10 a print for it.
Mm.
And if you are shooting 500 kids in the space in the afternoon, that's a very useful income stream, even if you wouldn't choose to photograph ponies and spotty-faced kids.
But again, those situations create other opportunities that you may not have thought of.
Oh yes, absolutely.
You get chatting to people, you know, and it might even produce more work within the areas that you actually know and want to be concentrating on.
I think everybody doing anything unusual will automatically want a photograph of themselves doing it, which is why everybody who does a charity parachute jump want several photographs of themselves leaping out into space, which is how, of course, the people who are actually doing the organising the jump make a fair amount of their money. There are all sorts of people flying around small towns doing photographs of their of people's properties from the air.
Mm.
There are endless opportunities for photography, providing you are adaptable and providing you are flexible in your attitude and to don't have some sort of predetermined idea of what a professional photographer does, don't you know?
Well, I mean, we were just before we recorded this, we were looking online at a company called Dropbox,
yeah,
which allow you to create photo books.
Let's get it right.
What did I call it?
Dropbox.
Oh, not Dropbox. Sorry, that's a completely different thing.
Photo books.
Yes. I don't pay attention. Do you know, people say it's very clear that you were my tutor, and you probably still are. I don't know what gives them that thought. But yeah, so I asked you while we were looking at the screen on your computer there whether we were just trying to kind of wonder where using wedding photography as an example, or the wedding photography industry, where it is going next, because I recently shared a link about a couple of guys in the States who are now shooting full weddings from first thing in the day through to right thing in the evening on their iPhones, and they are charging the same as what they would do if they were shooting on their DSLRs. But what we were talking about was where the industry might go next. And I suggested to you, I just wondered what you thought, this idea that even as the photographer, if you were to say to people, as long as the pictures somehow get to you from the guests, from the bride and groom, what have you, that you can handle those pictures to provide the designed picture book and what have you, rather than them going through something like a photo box, whether that is a realistic thing that might happen. Because it's a very unstable market at the moment, the wedding photography industry.
Well, I think photography itself is unstable. And I don't think it's just particularly the wedding photography market that's unstable. So as far as I can see, the wedding photography market doesn't exist, really, in the way that you and I were working in it 3 years ago. I'm sure that there are still wedding photographers making a fortune, but these are the guys who are charging £5,000-£10,000 a photograph a wedding. And they're getting there because basically it's the prestige involved in having that particular photographer to shoot that particular wedding. Not something I would want to enter into. It's certainly driven by price now, and just the same way as the Uncle George is supplying the wedding car with his family Daimler, and Auntie Ethel is depriving the local baker of the wedding cake because she's baking it for her niece. So Uncle Fred, bless his heart, is shooting the pictures with his new Canon or Nikon. Of course, he'll choose a Canon.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. Is this going to be your new thing? Every time you record one of these, there's a dig at Nikon.
No, not at all. I was just pushing what I consider to be the best camera in the world, Canon.
Mm. Oh, let's have a debate on that another day. But actually, we've done that debate, and I'll link to it in the show notes. But I think we agreed to disagree, didn't we? They're just tools.
I actually don't think that if you put a Canon or a Nikon together on separate tripods photographing the same image, and then you blew them both out to A3 in size and asked people to choose which was the Canon and which was the Nikon picture, you couldn't tell the difference.
No.
So it's all rubbish. It's basically the difference between choosing a Vauxhall or a Ford.
So, okay, one of the things that has happened within our industry over the last couple of years is video technology, and a lot of photographers are now offering video services because DSLRs have that capability,
particularly the Canon 5D.
Let's just pause it there. So you're saying the Canon 5D for video capabilities?
Yeah, well, many people have shot made feature films with that particular camera.
Absolutely. But I mean,
but I don't want to be a movie photographer. I want to be a stills photographer. I don't want to muck around with moving images. If I want to do that, I'd have taken up cinematography.
Mm. So do you think it's is harming the industry at all that stills photographers are now calling themselves videographers?
I think it's a desperate search to find a new income stream. It involves another opportunity to be sued. So if the movie is not... Actually, you know, shooting movies is an entirely different discipline requiring entirely different editing techniques And I'm not good at it, so I don't try to do it.
Do you think, so for example, with myself, if I'm talking to someone about doing their stills, and this happened just recently, they're also talking about having video produced as well. This is for a corporate client. I have videographers that I know are very good, which I will try to get on board. Do you think that, certainly in the same way as it was some years ago, there's not really, you can't really make what you might call a commission by getting his price, putting your bit on top and charging? I don't think the market, maybe that's why a lot of photographers are doing that, because they know that they can't do that anymore.
I think I'm sure that in the industry now there's something called a finder's fee. I would not want to recommend a specific video photographer. I would be quite happy to recommend three that I've worked with and I've been quite happy with the results that they produce. And I would expect from them a finder's fee for recommending them.
Mm.
And that would be normally 10% of whatever they charged.
But actually, that's just good good business.
Well, yeah, and furthermore, when they recommend me, I would expect to pay them a finder's fee of whatever it was I charged for the photography. So I think, you know, this is just horse trading, isn't it?
Mm.
I certainly don't want to get involved in a discipline. I don't want to. I don't want to do video photography any more than I want to be a brain surgeon.
Mm.
And I'm sure no one's going to trust me with a scalpel. Although perhaps it might be a bad idea if I have a go at you.
Well, you haven't got to worry about hair to get to, have you? You wouldn't have to shave me first.
only if I'm doing brain surgery. Well, I suppose that's true.
Yeah.
Do you think I'd find a brain?
See, this is why I have to keep active, because it's in danger of shriveling up. If I just sat there and thought, oh, the economy's doing funny things, what am I doing?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I do think it is interesting times, and there's a lot of people that are pulling what hair they do have out. And
of course, there are those who, having lost it on their head, have compensated it for growing on their, by growing it on their chin.
That is very true. But in my defence, I've not been clean shaven since I was 18, so I can't have that. That's my get out.
You obviously knew that this was going to happen, though.
I put it down partly to genetics and partly to setting up in business at the age of 21. Or 22.
Oh, well, you missed a wonderful opportunity there. You could have said, by me, talk by me too, couldn't you?
That's another discussion off record, I think. But no, it's an interesting time, and there's a lot of people that are trying to make ends meet, and they're wondering where to go, how to do what they love doing, what they know they're very good at doing. And I think there is the risk, as there always has been and always will be, in varying measures, from would-be pretenders to the throne, as it were, you know. We've talked about this in recent weeks, or just speculated, how, let's say, X number of years down the line, whenever that point is, that the economy recovers and things get back to...
Well, hang on, let me just give you an example of something that I am now going to do.
Okay. Is there another insult?
Sorry?
Is there another insult?
No, of course not. I wouldn't dream of insulting I am reasonably well skilled at wedding photography.
Mm-hmm.
I am reasonably well skilled at knowing what sort of pictures need to be shot and how to shoot them. I know how to arrange venues. I know how to do all sorts of things involved with wedding photography. I also know a little bit about the etiquette of weddings and which buttonhole the bridegroom should wear, which buttonhole the bride's father should wear, and everything else.
Mm.
I am going to produce a book on wedding photography, which will be not only for wedding photographers, but also for brides who are having their Uncle George shoot wedding for their wedding for them.
Mm.
It's going to be advice not on what pictures to shoot, but how to shoot them, and then in post-production. So that book is going to be produced by the end of this year.
Mm.
And it will be available online for a fee.
Mm.
And I said, and my belief is that there'll be a huge market for such a book, particularly if it's produced by someone who's shot more than 500 weddings.
Mm. See, now this is the thing. You very clearly, I know this as fact, but a lot of people will have, if they've listened to our conversations regularly, will know that you have a lot of experience in a lot of things, and to hear it coming from you, we know that you know what you're talking about, or you're just a very good bluff, one of the two.
Both.
But there are a lot of people that do, in a lot of industries, that do bill themselves as a professional, and they really aren't. But they do have the gift of the gab or what have you. But a lot of people have turned to publications to make extra money as a professional.
I think there's a huge amount of money to be earned in very small lumps by selling information.
Mm.
Now, if you actually think about it, if the average bride is wanting to have a proper series of photographs to commemorate the happiest day of her life, then if she can't afford the £3,000, £4,000, or £5,000 for a top wedding photographer, then she is going to welcome the advice from a professional wedding photographer on how to actually get the pictures which she's going to look at and smile at for years to come.
Mm.
And if that book is available for, say, for the sake of argument, a nominal £10,
mm-hmm.
£10 is going to be very well spent, isn't it? Mm. It's going to help her. She's going to be able to show the pictures to Uncle George or Uncle Fred, so these are the sort of things I want. He's got time to go out and practice shooting those pictures.
Mm.
And everybody's happy, including me, because I've sold lots of £10.
Yeah.
And I think I think photographers have to adjust, I think probably permanently, to the fact that their income stream is going to come in very small units of time and money.
Mm-hmm.
People are wanting more money for their pound than they've ever wanted before. And since we're dealing actually, and since a pound is basically nothing more nor less than a unit of time,
mm.
then photographers have to work out how they can actually sell that time most productively without any real effort on their part. Mm. Now, once you've produced the book, then it sells itself, or it doesn't. If it's any good, people will buy it. If it's not, they won't.
So, okay. Just going back to what I was going to say just now, X number of years down the line, when the economy has stabilised, such as it is, and we start to see progress, where do you think the industry stands? As a photographer, do you think we're going to be commanding in time the rates that we were?
No.
Or do you think that we're going
unhesitatingly to... Unhesitatingly, no. Have you ever known the price of petrol going down?
Not for a long time, certainly.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
So what will happen is when prices go down, they stay down.
Mm.
There will be a very few people right at the top of the profession who will continue to command fees, basically because it's smart to have them do the pictures. The rest of the rank and file, that's the rest of us, are going to be stuck with fees that have fallen to a level, and we're not going to shift them. Okay, there may be a marginal improvement in the sense that people will have bigger budgets and they might want to go to more exotic locations, or they might be able to spend a little more money on their environment or the set. But by and large, I think photographers are going to find it very difficult to lift their fees once this crisis is over.
And that's what makes it frustrating to see people dropping their prices. It's one thing to drop your prices, but to drop it so low just to get some money.
Wasn't it you who told me recently that some lunatic had paid £65 for a set of pictures shot in front of a hideously blue background?
Yeah.
And that particular client was apparently happy with them.
Yeah, and this was for
which actually brings up another stream to this conversation, which is the average client wouldn't recognize a decent picture if it bit him in the backside.
Mm. Yeah, and this the sad thing about those pictures is that these are designed for business in a certain industry that this person works, And that sort of picture is completely, and the look is just not what they should have been going for. And that came down to money.
So, the photographer did that for 65 quid. How much would you charge?
Considerably more.
How much more?
I think I quoted something for what they were... What they got was not what they were asking me to quote for. What I quoted for was about 200 and something pounds.
Okay, so 250 quid. So they got the picture done for, let's just say, for pretend it was 50 quid. Mm. So they've saved themselves 200 pounds.
Mm.
That must be probably the most expensive saving they've ever made.
Because
The pictures aren't going to work. They're not going to do what they want. And it's possibly going to bring them into disrepute.
Yeah.
So... It's a disaster, really, from your point of view, from the photographer's point of view, from the other photographer's point of view, and particularly from the client.
Yeah.
Who's going to learn the really hard way that cheap photography doesn't work.
Yeah. And on that note, I think we'll we'll sign off this. Hopefully there's a few nuggets, once again, of information there for people listening that are, you know, thinking about... earning money from their camera, or are existing photographers and you're wanting to diversify and think about how you might go about that. Hugh, thank you very much for your time once again, and I'll look forward to our next heated debate stroke comic shenanigans. Okay. Thank you. Right. As ever, I'm keen to hear what you have to think, so please do get in touch with your thoughts on the matter. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter, at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast.